Well, good morning. 2018 is here, and soon we'll be gone. It's interesting to look back and see what has happened and what is happening. And I think through it all, we can say that God is faithful. I know that through it all. It may be hard to see it sometimes. It may be easy to question. It may be easy to wonder. But through it all, God is faithful. Themes are supposed to be simple and focused and narrowly defined. And Lord willing, ours will be a little more that way after tomorrow night. We have a ministers meeting tomorrow night where we want to work further on detailing exactly what the theme will look like this year. But we would like to make making God's name great a general theme of Calvary Chapel, not just for 2018, but to something for us to have in mind throughout the year, every year. That is why I'm here. That is my purpose on earth, to make God's name great, to give God a good reputation, to be an advocate or a salesman to promote the kingdom. A couple of verses for the theme would be Luke 10:27, and he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then John 13:35, loving God will produce this: "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I guess my burden, that or something that I've been thinking about a bit lately, something the Lord has impressed on me. All of you know that most of you anyways would know that I am the bishop at Calvary Chapel. I've been in the ministry for a number of years. I'm involved in a lot of things. And something the Lord has impressed on me lately is the importance of viewing my job, my position, and everything I do as being done unto the Lord. It's easy for me to be wanting a certain kind of congregation, to be looking for certain results, to be expecting certain things or have all these goals and ambitions and whatever. And many of us, most of us, are quite busy in one way or another. I mentioned this not too long ago there's Kids Club and there's English as a Second Language and there's, teaching Sunday school. There's just a lot of different things that a lot of you are involved in. A lot of us are involved in. But what I'd really like to impress upon us as we go into this theme, this isn't necessarily going to be the theme, but my aim this morning and the base of everything we do needs to be to cultivate a love for the Lord our God and give evidence of that love by loving people. You know, I can be the best preacher you'll ever find, and if I'm doing it because I'm a good preacher, not because I love Jesus, it is in vain. I can be the best Sunday school teacher. I can do the best job with Kids Club. I can do whatever. If everything I do, if the things that I do aren't coming out of a wellspring of love for Jesus and a desire to serve and bless God, it will be in vain. The song that I would like to close with, Aaron, you won't need a song. We have Steve Green, the mission. And a line in that song has just spoke to me a lot lately. "To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. So that's what we want to look at this morning a little bit. Joshua 23:11 says, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." Why do we? Well, I'm gonna read some more verses here. And thou shalt Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then that's repeated in the New Testament, Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Joshua 23:11. Already that's up there, the theme part. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Psalm 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewarded the proud doer. Have you ever wondered why we need to be told to love the Lord our God? We are living in the New Testament. Why do we need commandments at all? Why do we need to be told to love God? Shouldn't that just come naturally? We often mention that in the Old Testament they didn't have the general filling of the Holy Spirit. There were times, you know, where it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet or someone and he did something in the power of the Spirit. But in general, the Spirit came after Jesus went back to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. It came on the day of Pentecost. We have verses like Ezekiel 36. Turn to that if you would, please. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28. We have verses like this saying that He will put His Spirit within us and it will change how we live. Ezekiel 36. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Just a couple chapters, books after that. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. It sounds like He will just change our hearts, and from then on we will just automatically do what is right. So why do we still need commandments? Or do we? There are those that would say, just follow your heart. If you have the desire, God gave you the desire. If your heart is right and you have that desire, then God must have put it there. Now turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, and let's see if we can trust that our heart is right and our intentions are good. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, reading through verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be that man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I want us to really, I'm going to emphasize that. I don't think we'll be coming back to that. But notice that he says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So there he contrasts with verse 5. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, in verse 5. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Galatians 6, verse 3 and 4 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, or test his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So why do we need commandments? I believe there are several things at work here. One is that we have an adversary, the devil, Satan. He works very hard to get our eyes off of Christ and off of God, off of what God wants for us. We're not going to spend much time on that one in particular, but we need to always keep in mind when I'm tempted or when I'm tried, when I'm struggling, maybe I can't figure out why I'm having whatever it might be, a temptation or a struggle. Look at my thoughts and ask myself, who said that? When seen correctly, Satan is completely unattractive. And Christ is altogether lovely. Satan's only lure or strength or whatever he might have is deceitfulness. When we feel that we are defeated, it is because he's deceived us into thinking we are defeated. When we feel another way is better than God's way, it is because Satan has deceived us into thinking another way is better than God's way. When seen correctly, Satan is always unattractive in his ways. And Christ and his ways are altogether lovely. The second thing is we must have faith. As long as we are in this body, we're going to have temptations, we're going to have struggles, we're going to have the old man and the new man in battle, you might say. We need to have faith, but what is faith? I think this thing called faith, just not too long ago, I don't want to go into any details, but I heard some things about a man that's becoming quite popular in America, so I looked some things up about him, a preacher, and has some very, you might say, big name people in his congregation, people that most of you would know several of these names. And these people are not exactly known for being upstanding citizens, we'll put it. So I was just looking into this, how does this all go? And the one clip that I came across was actually this preacher and one of these well-known people being interviewed. They're sitting on the couch and they're talking, whatever. And This the well-known person, not the preacher, but the other one, he says, just growing in my faith. Just growing in my faith. He's a very open sinner. Lives in complete contrary to God's will in many areas. And not only lives that way, but promotes it. And yet his faith, he's increasing in his faith. So what is faith? And I think we've sometimes made faith into this mystical thing where we just simply put our trust in God and we're not sure how that all works, but somehow He'll save us in the end. I have faith. There are elements, I'm sure, there are elements of faith that are hard to explain. But I think mostly faith just means to believe. And belief means trust. And when you truly trust someone, you believe what they tell you. I looked up faith in the dictionary. Faith is belief or trust. Belief in, devotion to, or trust in somebody or something, especially without logical proof. Trust in God, belief in, and devotion to God. Remembering what he said, or what we read about, cursed be everyone that trusts in the arm of man. I was going to use an illustration here. I was going to try to really get some shock value this morning, but I'm not going to do that. For one thing, I was going to do it in Sunday school first, and that didn't work out. But the youth went on a trip yesterday. They went to Chicago. They did some things. From all I've heard, it was a fun time. I didn't hear much about it yet. But someone planned that trip. Is Luis here this morning? I think Luis did the lion's share of the planning, all the planning, whatever. He said, this is going to be the day's doings, and you can come along if you'd like. I was going to. This didn't work out. For one thing, Luis isn't here, so that kind of took everything out of it. But with my plan was to talk to a couple of guys beforehand so they know what to do. And we go into the youth class, and we're talking, and I ask them how the trip is and so on. And you know, generally there's going to be a lot of good feedback. And one of them just all of a sudden says, I think it could have been planned a little better. In all seriousness, pretending to be all serious. And then maybe another one say something like, yeah, I thought the train kind of was corny. We could have taken the bus or a van or something. And then just leave it at that. The whole room would have been tense at that time. Everybody wondering how Luis is feeling being openly criticized and saying that I could have done a better job of planning this day. Then I was going to go on to the second part, and again, I didn't do that, but my plan was to sit here, to stand here and say, by the way, it's good to see the youth here this morning. And, of course, according to what I heard in Sunday school, things could have been planned a little better, but oh well. And then all of you would have been feeling sorry for Luis. And again, I've heard nothing at all to make me think it wasn't a good day. But my point is, I realize I am, please hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying we should not have compassion. I'm not saying there aren't times when it's hard to trust. And I'm not saying that life is just easy. I asked Adri before we came, I told her what I'm planning to do, and I kind of used her as a guinea pig. I said, let's suppose that Ashley shares with you that she's based on what's been happening lately, and again, this is completely made up. There's nothing going on that I'm alluding to or anything. But Ashley would share with you that based on what's been happening, I'm really struggling to trust God. I just doubt that He is really working in my life. I said, what would you do? And she said, well, she would try to encourage her. She would try to pray for her. She would, you know, do these things. And I said, why? Well, I want her to be able to trust God and so on. Going back to the illustration of Luis, me saying what I did, or if I would have done that, would have been an offense to Luis. Everyone would have been wondering, how is Luis feeling? probably no one would have came to me saying, you know, I really want to work with you and help restore your faith in what Luis is trying to do here. And this might be a poor illustration, but again, hear what I'm saying, but how often is my doubt or my struggle to trust God and my struggle to rely on Him an offense to Him? How's your life going? Oh, I could have planned it better. Do I trust God? And when I don't, do I realize that that is an offense to His character and who He is and what He's trying to do in my life? Again, I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying that we never have those days when it's tough. But I guess what I would like for us to really think about, there, I think that sometimes the general teaching that we hear, and I don't mean here, I'm saying if you turn on the radio, if you read books, if you do whatever, a lot of Christianity today has become man-focused. And it's about how man feels. It's about the man being lost and needing a Savior. It's about God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. There's a lot of things, and it's all about man. And while God gave His Son that man could be saved, it's still all about God. I've really appreciated Harold's messages these last while. I trust that's something that I can continue to grow in this year. Realizing that Jehovah is my all. Living in trust in Him and His big picture. Living in trust in Him in the day-to-day little things. Was it a coincidence that Craig walked into his garage and there was a battery charger there? Oh, how convenient. Those are the good things. It's easy to trust God in that. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure how good that illustration is. But for me in my own life, and again, I think it's different when we're talking to a non-believer or a new believer versus someone who has been in the faith for a while. But John the Baptist, in our lesson this morning, did not go to Caesar, to Herod, and say, you know, I've got some real concerns about your salvation. I don't know what all he said. But he rebuked Herod. You are violating God's law. And it cost him his life. But when I doubt, when I trust my way would be better than what God has for me, am I able, am I willing to let God be God? Cursed is everyone who trusts in the arm of the flesh, who makes flesh his arm, who makes flesh his strength. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And I think that if we can't, you can't love who you don't trust. You can't confide in someone you don't trust. So I would like for us to see, I guess, a challenge to us to make an effort to cultivate a love for God, a trust in God, a living out of a relationship with God. Romans 9, no, I'm sorry, I missed one. Okay. I got ahead of, I skipped this because of that illustration was going to be on both sides of this chapter. I was going to just make that offhanded comment and leave you hanging with that as we read 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This is how we know. We can't trust that our heart is right. We can't trust that our intentions are good. We must look at Scripture and prove ourselves. For this is the love of God. This is how I know that I love God, that I keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Is it a burden to follow God? Am I doing it because if I don't, I'll get in trouble? Am I doing it out of fear of punishment? Or am I doing it out of a desire to bless Him and know Him and love Him? Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, trusting. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, then we talked a little bit already about questioning God. Romans 9:20 says, Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Just a challenge that as we go into this year, to go into it trusting and seeking to cultivate a relationship with God. Okay, so now I figured that would take a little while. The rest here I think we can go through rather quickly. How will I cultivate a love for God in 2018? We got a few things here. So first of all, I will cultivate a love for God by starting each day with Him. Psalm 63:1, a psalm of David when he's in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me. This is God speaking. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired Thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek Thee early. For when Thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So number one, starting each day with Him. This is an area that I trust I can grow in this year. It is probably one of the hardest, most puzzling things in my life that I've had is the discipline of having not just some time, but a meaningful, extended time with the Lord every morning. So this is part of it that I am really determining in my heart to work on. Number two, by delighting in Him. Again, I really appreciated some of the series of messages that Harold had about Jehovah our all and delighting in Him. Job 22:26-28, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. For thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Psalm 37:40, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 40:8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 119:16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Isaiah 58:14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare thy way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That's a foundation. And then, out of love for God, obeying Him, I'll give you an assignment do a search. Most of us have, well, you can use a concordance, you can use a computer, do whatever. But do a search and look at verses that have the word love and Lord in them. In other words, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord. Look, do a search for love and Lord, and notice how many also say, keep His commandments. I was just almost shocked at how many verses, and I've got a list of them there. I'm not sure if that was all of them. I don't believe it was. I'm pretty sure it wasn't nearly all of them. I chose a few. But notice how often God says, when I will know if you love me by whether you keep my commandments. He warned the Israelites again and again and again before they went in and as they were going to not forget me. Keep my commandments. That's how I know you love me. Keep my commandments. It's again and again. I was really surprised how many times it says that. And then Jesus said too that if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Faith without love and obedience does not mean anything to God. In James it says, you say you have faith. Okay, you do well. The demons believe and tremble. They don't repent. Faith without love and obedience does not mean anything to God. Deuteronomy 10:12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then again, I've got that whole list of references there, and there are many more you can look up. But all having to do with loving the Lord and loving being part of Lordship. If He's your Lord, then you must, or I should say Lordship being part of loving. If you're going to love Him, He must be your Lord. And then, this is actually probably the biggest part of our theme. I was trying to set a foundation, trying to get us to think about whatever we do, doing it out of love for God. But then out of that love, we have obeying Him, sharing His love with others, showing His love to others, giving His love to others, and those words are somewhat interchangeable. And then the areas that we have to practice that are in our families, in our church family, in our community, and in the world. I'm excited about our theme. I think this is something that we can really, really get a hold of. Going back to the verses we started with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, with all thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A disciple is a follower. If we are following, we will love. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you for your time. And I just trust the Lord can bless us and lead us as we go from here and seek to cultivate a love for God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You are a God of light. There is no darkness in You. You don't hide what You want, what You desire, what Your nature is. Help us, Lord, to not be complacent. Help us to just have a real desire to know You better, to love You more, to look for You as we read the Scripture, as we pray in our daily lives, to be aware of You, to live out of a love for You. Bless our congregation. I thank You for each one. I thank You for what each one contributes. the unique giftings and abilities and talents that you've given each one of us. I pray, Lord, you'd help each one of us to just put our weight in the plow and be what we can be, what you've called us to be in 2018. Bless this year. We thank you that we can give this year to you and know that you know what it holds and that you go before us. Help us, Lord, to follow hard after you. We bless you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.